Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey everyone, welcome to another incredible Transforming Health with Brad King. This is a platform that helps change lives one body and one mind at a time. We've got a phenomenal show for you today. Incredible topic, actually. Well, a topic we've never really covered in full here today. So this is going to be one you want to pay close attention to. We've also got a world authority in this area. I couldn't think of anyone that would be more qualified to talk about today's topic. And, you know, one of the things I want to start off with, and I talk about this in many of my lectures, the difference from chronological aging as opposed to biological aging. You know, when we talk about chronological aging, we're talking about linear aging. How many years we have moved away from the womb? How many years have we been on this planet? How many candles do we presently have on our birthday cakes? How do we feel at whatever chronological age we're presently at? And I think if you look around you, for the most part, people start to panic after that certain age, whatever it is, let's say 30 or 40. I think women, perhaps a little more so than men. And I think the reason we start to panic and we don't like to tell people how old we are, chronologically speaking, is because we compare ourselves. We look around us and we see people of the same age, chronologically speaking, and we don't like what we see. We don't like how those people look. We don't like how they're performing. They certainly tell us how they're feeling, and it doesn't sound too appealing, you know, complaining about their aches and pains all the time. And I think we're aging, really a lot sooner than we really have to. And what does that really mean, aging anyway? Well, if you look at biological aging is what really matters most. It's how are you aging on the most fundamental level. That's the biological level. When we're young, and when I say youthful, I'm not talking about being a teenager or a child. I'm talking about your cells. When your cells are truly youthful, you turn over almost 200 million cells every minute of every day. And think about that. That's about 300 billion cells that are renewed and replaced and replenished when you're young on a cellular level. So biological aging is how are you aging on the most fundamental level of all. That's the cellular level. And really, when you really think about this concept of premature aging that so many people talk about these days, and anti-aging research, which is very negative. We should be talking about healthy longevity. It's not really about how long you're going to live. It's how well are you going to live while you're still here on this planet Earth. And the only difference between us and that child that still is able to jump on the monkey bars and do cartwheels is that that child is able to recover quicker than we can. You know, aging is really the inability to keep up with the wear and tear of daily living. When we break down quicker than the body's able to repair, that's what aging is all about. That's what premature aging is. And that's unfortunately what happens to the majority of people too soon, is they break down too quickly. They don't repair their bodies. They don't even understand the first concept of something called recovery. Well, let me tell you something. Today, everything you've ever wanted to know about optimal recovery. That's what we're talking about on Transforming Health. And if you've ever wondered what it really takes to recover effectively from exercise or stress in your daily lives, you're at the right place, because today's guest is a health professional. He's a teacher. He's a mentor. And you know what? He's actually a personal mentor of mine. He's committed to helping people integrate optimal nutrition, functional exercise, and natural health products into their daily lives. And he does this by providing them with educational resources and ones that they absolutely need to accomplish all of their goals. His personal research interests include the influence of nutrition on genetic expression, fatty acid biochemistry, psychoneuroimmunology, exercise physiology, and just human motivation. So without further ado, please welcome Canada's Ambassador of Sports Nutrition, Health and Fitness, a recipient of the prestigious CHFA Sports Nutrition Hall of Fame Award, the founder and president of the Corey Hawley Institute, and someone I am very proud to call a friend of mine. We have with us Dr. Corey Hawley. Dr. Hawley, once again, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brad. It's good to be on your show.
Well, fantastic. Listen, we've got so much to talk about here when we talk about optimal recovery. You have a conference that's coming up. I'm going to be speaking at this conference on September 29th. It's going to be, that's a Saturday from 9 till 4. So we'll give you information on how to get enrolled in that. There's going to be phenomenal speakers there. Dr. Hawley himself is going to be speaking. But why don't we start off by you telling us, why should people even be interested in this concept of recovery, and is it really just for athletes?
Well, no. Everyone every day has to recover from something, even watching too much TV or staying up too late. You've got to recover from the event. And the concept of recovery brings to mind a lot of principles that relate to survival and health and function and fitness. First and foremost, obviously, for the athlete, you know, athletes, we're watching the Olympics right now in London. We can see the athletes performing phenomenally. Now, they have to recover from the stress of the event. And Michael Phelps, the swimmer, he actually, when he was doing his heats, he pulled back. He didn't put all his energy into his swims when he was trying out for the finals. And a lot of sprinters and athletes do this because they know that if they put too much too soon into the event, they'll have nothing left because it takes time to recover. So they hold back until they have to put everything they've got. And this is what we should be doing in the gym, because our level of fitness is so important to survival, to mortality, and reducing the risk of mortality and morbidity. But most people say, well, Corey, how much can you bench? And I would say then in response, well, I want to get you under the bench press first before I tell you what I can bench. But more important than that is, how long does it take you to recover after you run, say, 50 meters as fast as you can? Or if you get on that treadmill or that spinning bike, how long does it take you to recover? Because that is far more significant, Brad, in terms of our definition of health than actually how fit you are.
So, Dr. Hawley, let's look at that for a second then, because what you said is obviously fundamentally imperative to the body's ability to recuperate and regenerate, and that's what everything is about. How quickly can we do that? And that all falls under the guise of recovery. So let me ask you this question. How problematic are those blanket approaches to exercise then? You know, someone's never exercised before. They go to a gym or they read an article in a paper that says, here's a routine for you and you need to do this 3 to 4 times a week. How problematic is that for the average person? Because, I mean, as you say, we're all biochemical snowflakes.
Yeah. Well, it's very common. I've been training with weight since I was 12, so this is my 43rd year. Continuously, as a lifestyle, weight training, in my experience, it's very sustainable. It's incredibly safe. I've played all the sports, and they pose much more risk. Even ping pong poses more risk than weight training if it's done correctly, systematically. And this is the issue here in response to your question. When anybody starts working out, they need to take a gradual approach. But before they even start working out, the same reason that architects, before they get people to start digging the hole. They draw the plans. They sit down. They think about what they're going to do. They understand physics, biology, science. They come to terms what needs to be done, what the challenges are, before they do the work. And this is the mistake that a lot of young people make. They go to whatever. They ski, they play soccer, football, whatever. They don't think about what they're doing. They're not rationalizing it. So I think the key is, you know, one of the most important elements with recovery is the prevention of the trauma that leads to problems with recovery, and knowing that your potential to recover is specifically relative to your existing level of strength and development. So the reason that you don't recover well if you don't is because you're not really fit. And then that should remind you, that should bring attention to the fact that you need to improve your fitness. And not just strength training, not just weight training. People think of weights and it's just all about strength and muscle and power. No, we're talking about cardiovascular health and fitness that relates to respiratory function. And also flexibility, because one of the best ways to recover from a workout is to actually stretch. And that's why in my workouts I have five phases. And every single workout finishes off with a meditative yoga-style stretching routine, which allows you and teaches you how to breathe and to relax. And that is essential. So the format, the system, the concept, the principles, rationalize them, think about them, write them down, have a plan. I think that most people don't do that before they start.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And when you talk about the stretching phase, you hear all sorts of information on this, like never stretch before exercise, only stretch after. Some people say you have to stretch before exercise. So what is your take on that? Does it really matter? Is it that imperative to stretch after exercise as opposed to before? What is the truth behind this?
Well, there's evidence that stretching excessively prior to exercise or sport decreases performance and increases risk of injury. Because what you've done is you've strained the tissue without being so-called warmed up.
Right.
Now, I grew up in Alberta, and we used to have to plug our car block. Our car engines had to get plugged in, otherwise they wouldn't start. And most people know what's meant by starting up and warming up a cold engine. So we need to warm up. So I have a warm-up phase, which incorporates a very moderate, light amount of stretching. I call it twisting and doing circles. I twist my joints in circles, my wrists, my elbows, my shoulders, my knees, my ankles, my waist, all the major joints. I twist them in circles very lightly. And I'm getting ready to warm up, and then I do some cardio, 10 minutes of very light cardio, raising the temperature of the body up to about a degree higher than it normally is. That's a significant characteristic of reducing risk of trauma and injury when you're warmed up. And then I do one of five different rotator cuff movements. I train 5 days a week, and each day I do a different rotator cuff movement because there's so much damage, and it's so common, the four subsets of muscles behind, because they're not mirror muscles, we can't see them, we tend not to train them. But they get injured for pressing and pulling and bench pressing. So the key is to warm up lightly. Don't strain. Don't push too hard. Nothing ballistic. Nothing intense. But then after the warm-up phase comes the resistance training, and that's the peak of the intensity of the workout. That's where
okay. Let's hold it right there. Let's hold it right there, Dr. Holly, because we have to go out for our first break. Let's talk about resistance exercise. What should that really comprise of? How long should people really be working out for? Because there's a lot of people that go into the gym for hours and they never make any changes. And then, you know, women are notorious for going into a gym not doing weight bearing activity or resistance exercise because they feel they're going to get so-called muscle bound. They go onto a cardio machine and they do it for hours a day, and once again they actually gain weight. Why does that happen? Why are we not recovering to the full extent, and what can we do about it? And Dr. Holly, a little later on in the show, we're going to be talking about supplements, actual supplements that work in enhancing recovery time. We've got a lot to talk about. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more of Transforming Health with Brad King and my guest today, the one and only Dr. Corey Holly.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com. Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Transforming Health. We're talking about the topic of recovery and really the what defines recovery. You know, at the very beginning, I was discussing aging, and really that is the defining factor of how well we're going to age, is really how well are we going to adapt to the stressors within our lives. And everything is a stress. How well do you adapt to stress? How well do you recover from the daily insults of living? And, you know, when we talk about things like that, we have to talk about muscle tissue. And my guest today and I were talking about, right before we went out, exercise and stretching and warming up, the importance of warming up. We're going to get into resistance exercise. How important is that? Because there's still a lot of people that are very misinformed. And really, what age should you start? How intense should you be working out? How long should you be working out? Why it's so important for women? I think women are still afraid to do weight-bearing activity. And what we have to understand is the amount of muscle that we hold on to through age really dictates how our metabolism is functioning. In fact, muscle is really what we would call the key metabolic engine of the body. So when you lose it, as so many people do, you almost always experience a slower metabolism. You know, people can lose easily one third of their lean body mass. Some women lose one half, sometimes even more, of their lean body mass by the time of retirement age. And studies show that for every pound of fat a person is lucky enough to lose on whatever diet that they're presently on, that person usually takes with them 1 pound of metabolically active tissue. In other words, they lose valuable muscle. And muscle is one of the most precious tissues we have. And losing even an ounce of it can spell disaster for our metabolisms. And the reason for that is because fat is actually burnt within muscle cells. So muscles, to a large degree, are the key to a healthy metabolism. We're going to learn how to hold on to that muscle as we go through the aging process. Today's show is a must listen to for every man and woman who desires to take their health to the next level. Hopefully that's everyone listening to the show. The keys to optimal recovery in exercise, but also in life, that's a topic of today's show. Please welcome back a health professional, a teacher, a mentor, one of the most respected sports nutritionists of our time. In fact, he is Canada's ambassador of sports nutrition, health, and fitness. He's the founder and the president of the Corey Hawley Institute. Once again, Dr. Corey Hawley. Dr. Hawley, I want you to comment on what I was just saying about the loss of lean body mass. I believe this is probably one of the biggest factors behind disability as we get a little older. This whole concept of what nobody's heard of before is called sarcopenia. Take us through this.
Well, just being alive subjects one to a constant source of oxidation, radiation, gravity, and something called entropy. So everyone alive, every living thing is being worked on. It's also known as a stress in simple terms. And as constant as change is, so is stress. There's no one alive that is not being exposed to some form of mental, emotional, physical, metaphysical stress. And even the stress of just being alive is a form of stress. So unless you're dead, you're under stress. Now, our ability to cope with stress is relative to a number of variables. And thankfully, we have with inside of us something called negative entropy, and it's a living force. We're animated, and we can push out against entropy, the force that's been identified in physics as one of the thermodynamic principles. And it's basically taking everything down and then moving something that is in order to a state of disorder. That's kind of what's happening to our bodies. Now, weight training creates the need to adapt when it's done progressively. And you've got muscle fibers that contract. And getting back to what I said about having to think about what you're doing, why are you going to the gym? What is your purpose? That's the question you've got to ask. Do I want to build muscle, lose body fat? Do I just want to get fit? Do I want to change the way I look and feel? Am I an athlete preparing for a sport? Am I a rehab patient that needs to heal a wound? Why? What is the purpose? So you go in with intention and purpose. Now, most guys in the gym are trying to build muscle, and they don't know the difference between strength and power and stamina and speed. They don't know the differences. And so we need to find out those differences, go online, Google them, and then really get clear about how to build muscle. So we need to, you know, like ultimately there are systems involved in building muscle. It's not just the muscular system. It's the nervous system, the immune system, the circulatory system, the endocrine system. All of these systems work in unison together as one. So when we take our body, our mind into the gym, we have to understand the limitations and strengths of what we can cope with. And sarcopenia is something that I am actively, consciously trying to prevent by going to the gym. And that's one of the reasons, Brad, why I go to the gym. I'm 55. And one of the reasons, besides loving it, loving pumping iron and creating the kind of physique and shape that I love that turns me on, and also as a functional athlete playing sport, one of the reasons is medical. I want to prevent sarcopenia. I want to prevent the poverty of flesh, as it's known. I want to prevent the loss of function that is associated with the loss of functional muscle. You know, see old people walking around on walkers or in canes, and I sometimes wonder, what kind of life did they live? Did they look after themselves? Did they do the work? Did they go to the gym? Did they stretch? Did they run wind sprints? And in actuality, if you talk to these people, you find out that they didn't. So we can prevent so much needless pain and suffering. And the athletic model is the model that Dr. Colgan, for example, looked at and said, you know, this is a great model. If we add to the work, the discipline, the sets, the reps, the training, the heart, the lungs, the function of the athlete, if we add to that positive emotional motivation and optimum nutrition, clean whole food, we are going to create the optimum human being. And so that's really what it's all about. This is what this game is all about. It's about learning how to stave off disease and dis-ease and loss of function and fulfilling your potential as a human being.
Well, Dr. Holly, isn't it really about our perceptions of, you know, basically our environment? I mean, if you look around you, you and I have had so many conversations about this, where, you know, people seem to be content with existence as opposed to living and truly enjoying life. And the only way you can truly enjoy life is if you have, number one, all your faculties about you, but number two, your mobility. I mean, could you imagine being a child and not being able to do what we did and what we took for granted when we were children, being as pliable, being as mobile, being able to jump up and down and go on monkey bars and do cartwheels and run and never run out of energy. And could you imagine if that was taken from us, if we never experienced that? And I think aging is we're always trying to get back what we once had because we took it for granted. Why do you think so many people are just okay not to be in a hospital? They seem fine just to be alive.
They're paralyzed, Brad, by fear. You know, Christopher Hitchens is outspoken, and he says that there are four basic fears. Fear of death is the biggest one of all.
We just can't get our head around it. So a lot of people give up, or they distract themselves by doing the work that needs to be done for their own sake, for their health's sake. They're afraid to look at reality. They're afraid to accept what is. The other one is what's unknown. People are afraid of unknown. And if you get on the internet and research any topic, you'll find that the fear of what you previously thought was going to happen is gone. Worry is a big factor. You know, they say that very seldom does anything ever happen that we worry about, so that's a waste of time and energy. I can't find anywhere, any reading, any text, anything at all that says worry is a beneficial thing. The other fear is fear of ourselves and fear of other people. We're afraid what people think. We're more concerned about what our next-door neighbors think than what we think, and I say, drop that immediately. Start thinking and going by what you think. Be your own guru. Be your own confident, and ultimately you make the final decision about everything that concerns your own life. And of course, people are afraid of numerous amounts of things that relate to perception of things that don't exist. So I teach my students and clients as a mentor to become like a scientist. Think like Aristotle. Look at reality. Think like a scientist. Become a biologist. You've got this beautiful, incredible body. Look after it. That's your obligation. How do I look after it? What do I do while I'm alive? What is my obligation? So for myself, I grew up without a father. I had a grandfather who was like a father, and he died young. And that really affected me emotionally, very negatively. I lost my grandfather. He was young. He smoked. I didn't understand it when I was younger, but I later grew up and I realized that the way he lived was responsible for his dying young. And we now know, because of statistics and evidence-based medicine, that only 2% of our genes has anything to do with dying in an abstract fashion, in a means that we have no control over. So 98% of the reason why people die prematurely or suffer or become diabetic or have heart attacks or their brains go is because of what they've done to themselves or what they haven't done to prevent what's happening to themselves. Well, this is a travesty. This is a complete waste. This is an unfortunate situation that people are really unaware of themselves, that they always had the control. They need to be in control of themselves and their own actions, and there's so much that they can do. So when you look at what can be done in the gym with exercise training, and I'm talking not just weights, but I'm talking cardio and stretching. Because when you get tested for how fit you are, they're going to look at your strength, your endurance, your body composition. You got to keep that waist lean. You know, a trim waistline equals a long lifeline, they say. And we're also going to look at flexibility. So there are elements of fitness that are essential to create as a result of our training. And you've got to inch forward. I call it taking two steps forward, one step back, and ease up on the reins. Don't push too hard, too fast. That's a big mistake, common mistake made by young people. They do too much, too fast. In homeopathy, there's a principle called less equals more. The more you dilute, the more powerful it becomes. As you get smarter in the gym, as you get smarter with your life and yourself, and you understand more about yourself and your existence and reality and physics and things like that, you begin to realize that the key is to maximize the time that you put into anything and do it as efficiently as possible and to minimize waste. That's the same if that's true in mechanics, at NASA, and everything on the planet is all about conservation of energy and maximizing output with less waste.
I love that. I love that. Let's come back with that. We only have a few seconds left here. And when we talk about the optimal duration of actual exercise, which we'll discuss as soon as we come back, I also want to talk about pain management, because let's face it, there's a lot of people that use that as an excuse, especially as they get older. Oh, you don't understand. I can't exercise, especially like I used to be able to. I've got aches and pains, and I'm in more pain afterwards. Well, it's because they're not recovering properly? And what about the people that do take the blanket approach and take things like the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen? What happens? Because the physiological and biochemical damage that actually occurs from that is cumulative in the body. We're going to find out about that as well, why that is not your best strategy, and what you can do naturally that will work just as well, probably even better, when we come back with more of Dr. Corey Hawley and Optimal Recovery. I'm Brad King. This is Transforming Health with Brad King. Don't go anywhere.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Everyone, welcome back to Transforming Health with Brad King, an incredible show today on recovery. And, you know, let's face it, the great majority of us never worry about or never think about our metabolisms when we're young, because when we're young on a biological level, our metabolism is really at its peak and our body's natural ability to take fat and incinerate it is greatly pronounced. And unfortunately, as we go through this cycle of aging as we know it, or as we think we know it, you know, we have a much harder time holding on to our, you know, youthful metabolisms, especially things like muscle and bone. And we notice with each passing year the accumulation of unwanted body fat along with wasting muscle mass. And this is what my guest today and I were talking about, this thing called sarcopenia, which really comes from the Greek word meaning vanishing flesh. And this is why, you know, we may weigh the same as we did when we were teenagers a little later on in life. It doesn't happen with everyone, but it does happen with some people, but things certainly aren't the same as when we were younger. I mean, much of the earlier us is often replaced by softer and mushier us, and we lose our lean, metabolically active tissues, our metabolic rates decline, we accumulate more and more body fat. But here's the interesting thing. Research indicates that we don't have to experience a decline in any of these things that are associated with aging, but that's only if we do the right things. And first off, we can't solely blame muscle loss, because even though muscle is a metabolic engine of the body, it turns out that older people, even if they have the same amount of muscle, studies indicate that age-related metabolic decline is actually linked to how active we are and how much we eat through our lives. And there was actually a study in the American Journal of Physiology that showed that this metabolic decline is only related to reductions in exercise volume and energy intake, and does not occur in humans who are able to exercise and eat at a level similar to that of younger individuals. So very interesting. My guest today, once again, I have personally admired this person for nearly 20 years. He's a health professional, a teacher, a mentor. He's been committed to help helping people since I can last remember, teaches them about optimal nutrition and functional exercise and natural health products, how to integrate those into your daily life. So once again, please welcome Canada's Ambassador of Sports Nutrition, Health and Fitness, a recipient of the 2003 CHFA Sports Nutrition Hall of Fame Award, the founder and the president of the Corey Hawley Institute, and a person, once again, I'm very proud to call a friend, Dr. Corey Hawley. Dr. Hawley, we were talking about exercise and recovery, and we didn't get into a proper duration of exercise and how much we should really be putting into every exercise. But let me ask you this question, because this popped into my mind a little ways back, and I was thinking, this wear and tear that we know of as osteoporosis and osteoarthritis as we go through the aging process and we lose that spongy cushioning material between the bones, our joints. Do you think that's caused just from general aging? Do you think it's caused from too much activity? Or do you think it might be caused because we don't do much of what we did when we were a lot younger, like the types of exercises that we did that made us and kept us as pliable and as mobile as we were? So I want to get your opinion on that.
I think that we become soft by living soft, period. I've never seen a soft hunter or gatherer or fisherman. I fished with Japanese fishermen. They're hard, they're lean, they're leathery, they're tough, they're strong, and they're stronger than I am at 80 when I was 40. All over the world when I traveled and worked with Aboriginal people, local people, working in the fields, in Israel, working in agriculture, no matter what it was, when I was doing something physical, I saw in the people that were living that way, close to nature, and physically working, none of them were soft. They're all hard. So you come back to North America and you see the softness, you see the fatness and the obesity. And really, essentially, it has everything to do with what we eat, why we're eating it, and how we're living. And so, in the gym, we talk about being hard, and then we talk about being cut, and then ripped, and then shredded, the different levels. If we go backwards from there, we like to maintain a hard-looking body with good muscle separation so you can see the shape of the body and not lose it by having it enveloped and covered by excess amounts of fat, which is pathogenic, disease-ridden, and full of toxins and waste. It's ugly to even look at, which is why I love the fact that fat, excess fat, is pathogenic and lethal. Not only is it ugly to look at, but it's also ugly to watch what happens to people when they accumulate it. They die young. They die of heart disease, cancer, diabetes. They die of every known disease. All-cause mortality increases when you become soft. So how do you avoid becoming soft? Well, you have to do something that people dread, and it's called work. It's called physical work. You have to be like a peasant in the fields and eat black bread and drink water and get down on your hands and knees and start picking vegetables. And when I'm saying that, I mean metaphorically speaking. You've got to, if you're an executive and you drive to work and you work in a building and you do no physical exercise at all and you sit in front of a computer for 8 or 10 hours a day, you have got to get to the gym. You've got to get to the field. You've got to get to the pool. You've got to physically move your body. In medicine, we know that exercise is equal to nutrition for value. It's absolutely critical. So then you get the athletes who go to McDonald's and eat the crap, and then they don't get the fact that eventually they're going to go down soft too, because their poor nutrition will catch up with them. It'll destroy them neurologically. It'll destroy their cells and their immune system. Yes, they can take it, and yes, they can swallow the garbage when they're 18, and they even have McDonald's at the Olympics. It's everywhere.
Oh, it's unreal.
But eventually it catches up with us. So the two are essential, Brad. They're absolutely critical. The physical training and the optimum nutrition, both are must application.
And one of the things we're seeing now is this big push for chocolate milk as a recovery agent, where they go and they do a study on chocolate milk actually being more beneficial than a lot of the sports drinks or any of the other so-called crap that's available in the market. What do you say to people that say, all I need is something like chocolate milk in order to recover quicker?
I say I agree with you, then I move on. Because that person is impossible to sell or change. They've made the decision and they're doing something that is obviously stupid to everybody, and they can't see that, which is fine. It would be like trying to convince a religious fundamentalist that his religion is wrong. Go ahead, try. Bring in, you know, as many people as you want and try and convince that individual that his religion that he believes in without any evidence is true, or the right one, or the only one. So once a person has made the decision to do whatever they do, they are the ones that convict themselves by their own action. They have made the bed they have to sleep in. So go ahead. Go ahead. Drink your chocolate milk. Eat your pizzas. Eat your crap and your garbage. And then I'm going to watch you suffer as a result. Now, maybe not today. And humans don't understand time. Einstein did. That's why he called it the fourth dimension. He said that the shortest distance between two points is not a straight line, because there's no such thing as a straight line in the universe. The shortest distance is a circle. Even light bends because of gravity. Our whole thinking process is backwards when it comes to health and longevity, and like you said, the difference between chronological and biological age. Who cares how old you are in terms of the number of rotations the Earth has made? If you're right. afraid of death and age, you've got to get over that. And once you do, then you begin to see the value of your own life. Now, weight training in the gym should be short and sweet and intense and hard and to the mark, to the point. If you go hunting, you don't want to take 18 shots at the deer. You want to make one good shot, right in the head or in the neck. So that's what you do in the gym. You get under that squat bar and you do your set of squats and you take one good shot. Of course you have to warm up. Of course you have to be trained. Of course you have to be conditioned. But after months and years of training, you should become a marksmanship. You should become an expert at the training. You should know how to do everything in the gym because you've been doing it for so long and you should take pride in it. So my workouts, my total workout from beginning to end, including five phases, including I'm going to the gym after this interview today. I'm going to train my chest. So I'll do bench press. I'll do two sets of three and two sets of six. Then I'll do an exercise called incline dumbbell presses. I'll do two sets of 8 to 12. I'll do two sets of flies and two sets of cable crossovers, and that's it. That's it for my weight training. I've done four exercises, two exercises each, except for the compound movement that I start the ball rolling with. That's my prime mover. That's my compound movement. That's where most of the value is. And then after the weight training, I move on to core training, two exercises. Then I'll be doing wind sprints today outside barefoot, 6 50-meter wind sprints. Fantastic for growth hormone release. Fantastic for elevating testosterone. And all the women out there that are doing all this cardio for reducing body fat, stop it. You know, like just yeah. stop doing it. It's insanity revealed in humanity. Get in the gym, warm up, hit the weights, and then start doing some interval sprint training, whether it's outside on the lawn or whether it's a treadmill or a spinning bike, even an elliptical machine. Start putting some intensity in your workouts, and then you'll start seeing that body fat just literally shed off like peeling onions.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. So once again, short duration, high impact, work up to it, obviously. My workouts take, I think, maximum 45 minutes. And, you know, you and I used to work out at the same fitness club. I think maybe there was a couple of clubs at one time. But I used to watch you, and you would do exactly what you're saying right now. You would be in and out. You had your system down pat. I don't think I've ever seen you in the gym longer than an hour. And, you know, I saw you would warm up 10 minutes. You would do your exercise. You would stretch afterwards. You'd be out. No conversation. Smiling. That's all it was. You were there for a purpose, and that's what I think is missing. What about the question about how long do our muscles really need for recovery after we finish working out?
Well, Colgan did some research in this area, and that is why I moved maybe 20 years ago to training one body part per workout and training the full body in 1 week. I found out that the whole body, all the systems. Now, when this is when you're doing it right. This is not when you're just going for a walk or you get down and do 10 push-ups. We're talking about serious workouts here that everyone is capable of because of Darwinian science. We know that because of natural selection and something called adaptation, we have the capacity to adapt. Dr. Hans Selye, the general adaptation syndrome, you know, the alarm resistance and the exhaustion. What we've got to do is create a controlled amount of damage, and we don't need a lot of damage, just a small amount, and within the realm of our capacity to cope with that. Now, if we do that, and we do what? We do the damage. That's what you do in the gym. You are constructively, consciously, intelligently controlling damage. It's the uncontrolled damage that we have troubles with, especially when it comes to the production of free radicals and things like cancer and disease pathology. But now in the gym, we're going to purposely cause damage. And in doing so, we know that we have the capacity to do what? To recover. But only if the systems are in working order and functioning, and that is where the nutrition and the sleep and the hydration and the optimum nutrition, the vitamins and the minerals, the dietary supplements, that's what that's all about.
Okay, we're going to be coming back. We're going to be coming back and talking about what that supplement looks like. What are some of the supplements that have the most science behind them to help you actually recover quicker, and why you should never rely over the medications to reduce things like pain. We'll be right back with the final segment of Transforming Health with Brad King. Don't go anywhere.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com. Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Everyone, welcome back to the last segment of Transforming Health with Brad King. We have today with us the CHFA Sports Nutrition Hall of Fame award winner, Dr. Corey Hawley, and very good friend of mine. And also, he is the president of the Corey Hawley Institute, and that's something you're going to find out about at the end of the show. We're going to find out how do you get more information. There's also a series that is coming up. Actually, Dr. Hawley, why don't you tell us a little bit about the CHI conference that's coming up, just very quickly?
Well, it's our annual conference for the Corey Hawley Institute, and of course we are an online education center, and once a year we have an annual conference of which we feature you as one of our many fine and featured guest speakers. But it's a trade show also, so we have manufacturers come with their products, and this is a great environment to learn. It's an education-focused event, so we have professionals. You're talking, and all the rest of the speakers, our focus this year, our theme is recovery. So learn how to recover, what supplements to take, and just come by and network. It's from 9 to 4, September the 29th, in Coquitlam, at the Best Western Coquitlam Inn. And it's just a really nice environment. And afterwards, we'll go have you know, some drinks and sit around and just talk about whatever comes up. But it's a very casual, enriching environment for people that are looking to enlighten themselves in sports, nutrition, health, and fitness.
What's the best website to get this information on?
My website is coryholly.com, CoryHolly.com. Just click conference.
Okay, now we've got a lot to talk about. We only have a few minutes here, so I want to start off. You know, everybody has heard of the RICE application, the, you know, rest, ice, compression, elevation, if you have an injury. Now, you're saying that this has actually been rewritten. There's new science out there. Tell us what's going on.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is active rest. We know that if you break your ankle and sit around and do nothing for 3 weeks, that is an antiquated, outdated approach. Physicians now are even moving away from putting limbs in casts because of the atrophy, because of the lack of use. We know that that delays healing and impairs wound time healing. So now what we want to do is, how do we move? Let's say that you've got a serious injury, you've had a sports injury, and you can't really move around. Say you broke your ankle. Well, you use ice to anesthetize it initially. With acute injuries, the ice can modify the pain. But too long and too much ice can actually interfere with how the body physiologically is going to move waste away from the injured area and oxygenate it. It needs capillaries. It needs new vascular beds. It needs a lymphatic activity. Lymphatic system removes waste. So what we do is we minimize the amount of ice. We can still use it initially. Then we use compression. That's still valid. We can still elevate. But what we do, how do we get active when we can't put any weight on our ankle? Well, there's something called muscle electrical stimulation. And what these are is electrode patches that you stick on the muscles all around the wound, and then you just flick a switch, and it causes an electrical message to be sent, and you can actually see the tissue and the muscle beds around the wound being active, and movement occurs. And this is now associated with producing nitric oxide, increasing vasodilation, oxygenating the environment without causing increased pain, and the healing time is being reduced by significant amounts. And that's the key, because, you know, all athletes, when they get injured, they want to recover so they can get back on the field.
Yeah,
so
Dr. Holly,
let's say we need to and there's a website that I can send people to. It's Mark,
yeah,
MARCPro.com, for more information on this device.
MarkPro.com. Okay. Now, what about these people that are popping NSAIDs like there's no tomorrow? I mean, there was an article in Sports Illustrated by Shaq O'Neal who said, you know, he was popping at one time things like ibuprofen like they were candy by the handfuls after he would finish a game. And the newer research is showing that, you know, these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, they literally shut off something called the satellite cells of the body, which are absolutely essential to the repair mechanism. So give us your take on some of the dangers associated with these NSAIDs and why people should be looking for alternatives.
Well, big pharma has permeated to such a degree in our society, in our consciousness, that people now don't hesitate at taking anything for anything, is how I could put it. You got anything? Well, take something for it. It's got to be something that you can take for it. I mean, the whole idea is health consciousness, and what effect do non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs have on the wound? Now, they do mask pain, and pain is our friend. There's another thing I mentioned before, what we're afraid of. People are afraid of pain. They'll do anything not to feel pain, live in pain, or experience pain. And, of course, we know that pain is absolutely essential as a protective element in life. If you don't feel pain, you're like an emotional leper. And then what happens as a consequence of having leprosy is that you will die sooner from infections and wounds. This can also be related to emotions inside the mind as well. But physically, the reason that we don't continue walking on tacks is because we can feel our nervous system sending us messages, and we retract, we pull away. So pain is a good thing. So when we're experiencing pain, we have to find a way to work with the pain, work with the body. This is, it's called promoting medicine. It's natural medicine, alternative functional medicine. We don't just plow in and destroy the tissue and the fibers and the neuroendocrine system. What we have to do is work with nature, work with our body, because we're organic, we're biological, and big pharma is everything but that. So NSAIDs and the whole family of pain relief medication have a very limited place in our kitchen cupboard or bathroom cupboard. Very, very, very limited. To me, it's
so. What are the? What's the alternative?
Bear the pain.
But what's the alternative?
Short-lived, and the sooner that you get off these things, the better. And if you can get through it, my daughter just had a baby, didn't use any pain relief medication at all. And as a consequence, now that's over, she realized that she had the capacity to endure it. But before she went into it, she was terrified.
Right.
And I said, your body is biological, and pregnancy is not a disease. You have what it takes to endure this if you're prepared. And you know what? She's really fit, very well hydrated. And that took her through the process.
Right.
So
now,
people,
Dr. Holly, we only have...
usually are using it because they're not doing the other things that have to be done, which are better, but take more work and more timing and more consideration.
Okay, so we only have a few minutes left. I promised everyone we would talk about supplements. I'm going to throw a few out at you because I know you have obviously a lot of history, you know, with research in this area. So for recovery, let's just expand a little more on natural anti-inflammatories, if you will. What would you recommend do you recommend things like glucosamine sulfate, chondroitin sulfate, or do you recommend something else?
Of course, glucosamine is a staple agent I take every day to prevent the erosion of the joint and the mucopolysaccharides that it's in charge of building. As I age, I can't produce as many enzymes that are associated with the pathway that leads to the production. And glucosamine is a combination of glucose and glutamine. So I take the amino acid glutamine that goes in my shake. Ribose, incredibly valuable for recovery. We know that it takes time to rebuild and resynthesize ATP, adenosine triphosphate, the energy currency of the body. We know that it takes time to build that up again before you can fully recover. We have to have energy. So anything that relates to energy, ribose, glutamine, HMB to reduce inflammation, wonderful. The enzymes that mark damage in the body all go down when athletes take HMB. Creatine for power and strength. If you have more power and strength to go into the workout, you're more productive. And at the same time, when you have a post-workout shake, I always have a pre and a post-workout shake. These are how I put these things in my body. The creatine, the glutamine, the ribose, the spirulina or the chlorella, these are all in powders. The essential omega-3 rich oils, the hemp, the flax, the chia, the EPA, the DHA, all of these things, they're remarkable, and they're a godsend. They're an advantage. Anyone that doesn't use them or know of them is missing out on a wonderful advantage that can help them stay alive and stay free of pain and injury.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Holly, I love that. I actually supplement with HMB as well. I've been doing that for a few years, as you have. What about branched-chain amino acids? Because HMB is part of that chemistry, but do you think people could benefit by taking extra branched-chain amino acids?
Absolutely. There's lots of data on that. As a matter of fact, you know, whey protein isolate, as you know, Brad, is a rich source, one of the best of the branched-chain amino acids. And so I use the whey protein isolate in the protein shakes before and after each workout at nighttime before I go to bed. So there's a good source. But you can also take powder or capsule forms of branched-chain amino acids. Another one that's been tied in and connected with BCAA or branched chain amino acids, the isoleucine, leucine, and valine, is
right.
The beta-alanine and how it acts to produce carnosine and delay pain. You know, a lot of the soreness and stiffness, it's called DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness, that is preventable. First of all, the fitter you get, the less of it you'll experience. I'm outside right now, and there's a hot tub right beside me. Now, after the gym, I come home, I have a great shake, and then I have a hot tub. And, you know, the heat and water therapy and just drinking enough water and hydrating with electrolytes inside that drinking water in the workout is huge. But the contrast therapy of ice therapy and heat, just simple water therapy can be very, very, as well as massage and chiropractic. So,
right.
You know,
right.
The key point I think I want to make here is that the lack of recovery is a sign and a symptom of you heading in the wrong direction. Here's a quick way to determine.
Okay, actually, Dr. Hawley, we're completely out of time. I want to thank you for being the guest today. For more information on the show today and find out a little more about Dr. Corey Hawley, CoreyHawley, HOLLY.com. You're going to be able to download this show absolutely free of charge on iTunes. I want to thank Dr. Hawley for being my guest today. We'll be back next week with another incredible show, incredible guest. Don't go anywhere and enjoy this unbelievable life you have. Just get out there and do something worthwhile. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.